Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 54 for October 30th, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only version of all episodes of the Timing Research shows on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas, and over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I've put the list together. So if you're watching the video, you should see that list today. For today, we're going to get through as many of those as we can. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and I developed this show with Dean Jenkins of Follow Me Trades, and he is here to moderate today. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
All right. Hey, thanks, David. Good to be back here again. And we've been doing this over a year now, and it's been fun. We've looked at a lot of charts.
It's been great.
Yeah. And so we've got a great panel today, and we will start by having them introduce themselves real quick. Just, you know, 1 or 2 minutes, who you are, what your organization is, and what your approach to trading is. And Mike, if you'd kick it off.
Hey, Dean. Nice to be with you again, by the way. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm a day trader or swing trader, usually a swing trader, but in this market, I'm a scalp trader because, well, that seems to be what's working best. Take some profits, put them in your pocket. My website is smartoptiontrading.com, and what I do is I follow the option flow every day. I look at technicals and charts, and then I look for the setups I like and look for the option flow behind it to give me two good reasons to get into a name, especially on a swing. So if it's coming into an area where I think is strong support and I see them coming for a name, that's a name I want to jump in on. So that's something I keep an eye on. And if you're interested, you can check me out at smartoptiontrading.com. I'm live about 3 hours a day in a chat room, or I also do some moderating for alphashark.com with Andrew Keene. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Hey, great. Yeah, it's been a few weeks or months since we've been together, so I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say and your perspective on these trades. And Larry, if you take a minute, introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks again, Dean and David, for having me. I always have a lot of fun. I like looking at charts and stuff, so this is great. I've been actively trading for over 30 years. Started my trading career out in the oil side of things, trading crude oil, and ran one of the largest oil trading desks for over 10 years, just trading oil, but also we traded all the other commodities and foreign exchange. So been in it in all the various markets for a long time. So it's been a great learning experience, lots of fun. And I started my own educational trading service a number of years back called PowerCycleTrading.com. And we use directional trading model that I developed. And then we use options for the trade setups, kind of swing trade based setups, and then use options for leverage and good risk management. So that's what we do. Check us out, PowerCycleTrading.com. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, it's good to be here with you. And if you were a oil trader for years, then something as trivial as a 500 point move on the Dow doesn't get your pulse rate up, right?
Yeah.
Oil's a wild ride, man.
A wild ride, that's for sure. I've been through a lot of oil rides that were wild and pleasant and unpleasant.
I'll bet. I bet you got some stories to tell.
I've got lots.
All right. I'm Dean Jenkins, founder of FollowMeTrades.com. I'm a technical trader. I primarily trade swing and trend trades. I mean, I think a little bit longer than the other two panelists. I'm typically in a trade. Low end is about 2 weeks, out to 4 or 6 weeks even sometimes. So I like to tap into a new trend or swing and then stay with it, trade primarily with options. I run a stock advisory service, a live trading room for an hour right at the open in the mornings. And I've got some training and mentoring programs I run as well. And I just, it's a great, I love talking to traders, looking at charts and trading in general. It's good fun. It's better than any video game out there, right?
Yeah.
So I tell my 20-year-old son, I go, hey, I got a video game here you'll love. He hasn't bitten yet. Let's go ahead and jump into these charts.
Teach him young.
What's that?
Teach him young, Dean. Teach him young.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep trying. Right, I'm gonna keep trying. So we got some interesting symbols to look at here. Some of the usual suspects and some new ones. So looking forward to it. And first up here is Kroger. And let's go ahead and just keep that order. So Mike, you offer your thoughts on Kroger.
So Kroger to me is interesting here. First of all, it's a safe name, right? So when the markets are selling off, they like to look for defensive type names, and Kroger kind of fits that bill. It's also in retail. And if you guys didn't notice, retail sector was really strong the last 2 days. That was kind of an area they were hiding in, whether it was Walmart or Target or Costco's or Macy's or Kohl's or Kroger. And boy, today did it wake up in a major way, right? Look at the volume today, above average volume by far, perked up, took back all the moving averages, jumped out of the Bollinger Band, and you know, know, never an accident, stopped right at the gap. So if you like this name here, I would put this on my radar. I don't think I would chase this candle here, Dean, because it's moved a lot in one day. And what I like to look at is it's extended off the 8 and the 21 day, which are both still all the way down here at 28, right? And this thing's trading up here at 30, which is a long way for it. But I would see if it can flag for a day or two. And if the 8 day was to get closer to catch up, or as long as it holds around here, the 50 day, the top third of this candle, I would look to trade this for a long into this gap and a possible gap fill up to the 3150 area. I'm not sure when earnings are. I think they're probably out of ways because this is probably the earnings gap down. So you probably have a couple months. So if I would look for that, it's also a defensive name. So if the markets are choppy, this is a place they'll continue to go to hide.
All right. And Larry, what do you think about Kroger?
Yeah, totally. Pretty much agree with Mike. When you look at this kind of move, you don't want to chase a kind of a really explosive move like that. That's fantastic if you're in it. But you can see it's pulled back up here, back above that 50 simple moving average right there. And then it's coming into that 618. So it should stall out right here. But I do, you know, you've got that gap area like Mike said up here around 31. So markets love to fill gaps. But I think it'll probably stall a little bit in here. Now, if it pulls back here to me and starts to consolidate more around this 29 level back towards that 382, kind of churn sideways, consolidates, then this might be one to jump into for a move back above the 618 and then a move to fill that gap and potentially higher. But the momentum has shifted up. So, you know, technically it looks okay, but I would not, you know, be chasing it here after that kind of big breakout day today.
All right. Yeah, I wouldn't chase it either, you know, after today's big move. You know, I'm showing about 18 months worth of data. And I look at this chart, it's just not my favorite. I was joking with the guys before the program, but this looks like a Halloween chart for me, man. This is a scary chart with all the gaps. All the gaps and the way this thing just, it swings without any real order or rhyme or reason. But it's got its, you know, obviously news and information. Earnings are on December 13th. So you were right, Mike, out there, you know, about what's that, 6 weeks?
Yep.
And, you know, that gap, you know, if it fills that gap, that's a dollar move on a $30 stock. I'm looking for a little bigger potential. And for me, just the way this thing whips around, it's more like gambling. If I'm going to gamble, I'm going down to the crap table and get a free drink. I'm not going to do it here.
But, I mean, I think you look at the sector too sometimes, right? And Walmart's acting a hell of a lot better and more consistent moves, or some of the other names in there.
Way more orderly, right? You can have an edge in a stock like Walmart. I don't think I can have an edge on Kroger. It's a 50-50 shot, right? That's not good enough for me. Speaking of orderly, Mr. Gates and Mr. Allen company here. What do you think?
Microsoft? Are you asking me?
Boy.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Boy, what a wild day in this stock. So if you're like me and Larry and you follow the option flow, they were sweeping weekly puts in this thing all day long, and even some longer term ones, but some very long term calls as well. Look at the reversal today. It came down, tagged the 200 day and reversed hard off of there. Didn't quite have enough to close green, but got darn close. My friends, that's what we call a reversal candle. You trade below the previous day's low, come back and close up above it. I would watch this one for a long here. Now, it's held in well since earnings. And this to me was a little bit of a warning sign today. This is the one thing, by the way, I would tell you that had me a little nervous today, most of the day, is that this had been one of the better acting names through this correction that we've been in for the last month. And today it dumped out of nowhere for no reason. When the market was holding in today, this name was dumping. So I would watch this. And as long as it holds in here, I would look to see if it can get a continuation move. But if it starts to falter again tomorrow and the market's holding in, you know, I would watch for another retest of the 200 a day down here. In tech land and in the beta names, this is one of the few names that is still above its 200 days. So you have to respect that. It's had strength, relative strength at this point, and something to keep an eye on. Again, markets have to be in its favor, though. I think we need the markets to close. And for me, the SPY has to get above 270 and push. Until then, the markets are still just trading in the same kind of range we've been in now for the last couple of weeks.
All right. Larry, Microsoft.
Yeah. So with Microsoft, yeah, it's definitely, you know, one of those market leaders that you want to follow. You know, you want to look at Microsoft, you want to follow the Amazons. And when the buying starts coming in and those stabilize, that's going to be a good sign. But just like Mike said, you look here, this is a 200-day moving average. To me, that's the most important technical, you know, moving average, that 200-day or 200 period on the daily. And then you can see here, this is a 50% retracement. So, you know, if it can hold here, you know, the 200 day and that 50% retracement, that's, you know, that's kind of an ordinary kind of a pullback. And then, but you need to see this start to consolidate more and start to build a base. I would not be jumping in here now. You need more days of a kind of a laying a foundation of support. And because it just as easily could come back down and retest this area here. So it's not confirming a bottom. And the other thing that I look closely at is momentum on all the other lower time frames. So I like to look at the 4 hour, the 1 hour, and you can see that the momentum indicators that I use, they're all still negative. So until I see that shift, you know, this thing could still go either way, but it's, you know, looking a lot better by bouncing off that 200 day. But a lot of times you'll get a bounce first time down off a 200 day, and then it'll, you know, maybe kind of settle in, and then a lot of times retest again. So it's not ready to go yet. I would just definitely put this on the old watch list because this could be a real good go-to once it does stabilize, but it's not ready to be a go-to yet.
So both Mike and Larry mentioned the 200-day moving average. You can see it on my chart as well. And it's the white line here on my chart. And as noted, it went right down to it, tested it, bounced back up. So if it continues that move, I think the other two guys said, then you've probably got long coming. Now, what's notable is the shaded area here is the Ichimoku cloud. And I use that in conjunction with Elliott Wave, very simple Elliott Wave. And so we're under the Ichimoku cloud. And we've had a series of something that hasn't happened on Microsoft. You know, how long is this rally? You know, where did this thing start? You know,
it's been huge.
2016, right? It's just gone. And, you know, using Dow theory, it's just put in a series of higher highs, higher lows, higher highs. Every pullback was simply a higher low, right? Higher highs, higher lows for forever, right? This move here that took it down through the cloud is a low, lower high, new low, down to the 200. So that could just be a stall. And if it, you know, starts putting in some highs, maybe breaks above the cloud, we may have more room to go. If, on the other hand, we start getting some close below the 200, we got something new going on with Microsoft, you know, just from a technical standpoint. So it's in the, I think both other guys said, you know, hey, this is a watch right now. This point right here, there's no action to take at this moment. But if it breaks and closes below the 200, then the full retracement for this, and it'll be on. I would be willing to call that a short. If it gets a solid closure to under the 200, then the mid of the retracement, Fibonacci retracement zone on the whole move here is 38.2 to 61.8 Fibonacci, midpoint of $85. So I would be looking for a short if and only if it closes below the 200 with some authority, not just a little wick and test, but gets down there. So no trade right now, but that's something to watch for. Interesting.
Can I throw one more thing out there?
If you agree with me, yeah.
I do. I have actually something to add to it, but I think we're all right. You know, for me, one thing about this market is we couldn't be done with this down move until names like Microsoft corrected, right? As long as they kept holding big names like Microsoft and Amazon and these names up and Apple still holding in there, this move down couldn't be over because, you know, they didn't do any damage to the runners. The runners have to come in for this move to end. And maybe we're starting to finally see that with some of these names.
Yeah. And I think you're right. If some of these big names do break and really start real corrections, right, then the indexes stand by. And, you know, it's not bad news. Like the talking heads on TV talk about the apocalypse every time the market goes down. We make a ton of money when the market's going down. So it goes down a lot faster, it goes up. And, you know, we're sort of due for a correction. And I'm ready for it. So we'll see. So Microsoft, right now, I think everybody's saying hold and just watch that real close. Next is CVX. I believe that's Chevron, is it not?
It is.
All right, Mike.
I want nothing to do with the energy sector right now, guys. So I'm going to throw this one into it. We are in the middle of this week is one of the bigger earnings week for the energy sector, right? RIG was last night. We had BP this morning. If you look, Endaco, APC reported tonight. There's a ton of earnings Friday morning in the energy sector. Oil is getting beaten up and smashed. And even when oil was putting in a four-year high, most energy names were falling off at that point. They couldn't get back to the highs of this year, never mind the four-year high. So for me, there's really no really good trade down here. There's been no big option flow. OIH has caught some flow today, puts short-term, calls long-term. From a technical perspective on this chart, guys, I see that, you know, we have a possible double bottom here, right where we are now, right around this 108 area. But, you know, is it extended to the downside a little bit? Could it use a pop-up? It sure could. But honestly, the sector just seems to be out of play here. And just, I don't know what the catalyst is right now, right? If oil can't bounce and we have numbers that just came out a little while ago, and then we have the real big numbers tomorrow, I don't know how the oil names are going to bounce if crude can't bounce. So for me, there's no trade here. I'm just going to leave it alone.
Got it. Hands off on oil and energy, Chevron and energy in particular for Mike. Where are you at, Larry, on Chevron?
Yeah, no trade. I mean, well, first off, I don't take a trade. You know, it's coming into earnings. So, you know, it's got the earnings on the second, I guess it's probably before the market opens. So there's, you know, no trade just from that standpoint. But here, you can see it's tested down here to these prior lows. So, you know, I think it's going to have some more work to do here. If the earnings, we'll see what happens with the earnings, but this prior low breaks, then it's, you know, it could extend further down. And this seasonally in October, November is probably the, you know, weakest part of the year for oil on a seasonal basis, because refineries are doing a lot of turnarounds. So there's no, you know, really need for additional supply because they're cutting back on runs and doing all that kind of stuff. So you get a kind of an oversupply a lot of times hang, and that's not going to help the energy stocks. So yeah, right now, no trade.
Yeah, and there's no trade for me either. And Mike pointed out this this double bottom, this prior low that we're sitting right against here. I wouldn't try to short that. And, you know, we talked about oil a little bit. I think it's interesting. I'm going to pull up the light sweet crude continuous contract. So, you know, the run started late last year, about this time last year. Actually, it was in July. And, you know, an amazing run from 45 up to 75, 76. And technically, just by definition, this uptrend is still intact. This prior low at 63.47 has not been breached. And it's sitting right at the 200 on the daily continuous contract here. So it'd be interesting to see if it fails, you know, breaks the 200, takes out this low, then that run is clearly over and retracing. You know, it's hard to grasp the drop in oil with the geopolitical backdrop. You think that would just be driving it up, but you know, that's what you get for thinking, right? That's why I like to retreat to the reality of price action.
And the API build is out, and it was a larger than expected build, 5.69 million barrels.
And so we'll see what the other report is tomorrow, right?
Right.
That matches.
So. Yeah, it is the most watched because it's more accurate.
Right, yeah. Right. So we'll see. It's interesting.
One last thing on oil. So you can see here, this is a monthly chart for crude oil continuation. And here, this is a huge moving average. This is the 200 period moving average. So you can see this is big support right now. You can see the last time when we came up here, here's the 200 period moving average. So about 66 came up there back in January, failed, February failed, March failed, finally started breaking through in April, came back, retested it, held, now back into it. So if it's going to hold, it needs to hold kind of right in this zone here, you know, from 62 up here to 66. And then you've got the next support down here at 57. So, you know, it could easily pull back into 57 because it's just a seasonal time frame. But, you know, you do have other factors with Iran not being talked about too much right now. And they're supposedly going to be taking oil out of the market on November 4th. So we haven't heard much being chattered about that lately. And this just got to be an overcrowded trade because of that. And then bingo, down it goes.
Yeah.
Larry, cool. Yeah, I keep seeing reports that analysts are expecting that demand is going to outpace supply in the rest of this year and into next year. Do you think that's true? You said you were an oil trader, so I'm going to defer to you on this.
Yeah, no, that's not true. I just did a big presentation on this just Saturday. I'll be doing another one tomorrow night. So if you'd like to see it, it's going to be based on global supply demand balances by the EIA. And right now, the forecast has been cut down as far as the demand factors. So they've been adjusted down about 200,000 or 300,000 barrels. So there's actually going to be a surplus for the next year. So if you've got a second, I can show it to you. Hold on a second.
That's a huge market. That's pretty important. I'm willing to take a moment for that.
Okay. I am too. Well, I love learning about this stuff.
So this is, you know, it's hard to get, you know, these are, again, forecasts, but the EIA is about as good as you can get. So if you just look here at the supply demand balance, so if you look here, this is 2019 demand is 101.56 million barrels a day, and then supply is going to be 101.84. So there's going to be actually, you know, based on their numbers, a increase in supply. So we'll be 280,000 barrels per day oversupplied for 2019, but that's not that huge. I mean, because of, you know, just little things that could happen could take that out pretty fast. But you can see just from the last 2 years, so you can see 2017, there was a drawdown of over, you know, 840,000 barrels per day. And then 2018, another full year of drawdowns. And that's what really spiked the market. But, you know, it can only get up to about $77 on WTI. And now you're going to start having an increase. But still, there's not a whole lot of room for error, you know, if things do fall apart. So it could be, you know, I don't see the market prices unless we have a total global meltdown, just totally collapsing. But it should be stable between, call it 50 to, you know, 70 or 75 bucks, somewhere around there.
That is interesting. Thanks for taking that that aside. I think that was worth doing. All right, back to the list. Square. Mike.
Okay. So full disclosure, this is one of my favorite names in the world. I love trading this. It's made my week. I made my nut for the week thanks to Square already. So just a couple scalps on it that were really nice. So if you're a long-term trader, first of all, there's been no flow into this. It has earnings next week. This chart is not pretty. So what I will tell you, though, it's one of the first names to bounce every time we pull down. And today it put in a reversal candle, nice hammer, closed on the highs. But what I will point out here is since it broke the 8-day after this huge move up to 100, right? And that was a huge move up to 100 after last earnings. Once we broke the 8-day here, we have not been able to get a close above it, right? Every pop above it sold, and we basically... Every time we touch it, we sell back off here. And the 200-day is just below here at 62.67. So for me, I was hoping to get in my long-term account some Square down here around this 200-day, but it hasn't hit it yet. And I'm kind of being patient with it. This thing's had an incredible run. So before you go out there and saying, oh, this thing's going to keep going, just realize that a year ago today, it was around $34 a share. And if you actually go back, it was a lot less than that, less than 18 months ago. So, you know, this is not a horrible pullback here and a refresh, right? It ran up to the 100. The 100 was the easy move. For me here now, it's all about earnings. So I would, unless you're day trading or scalp trading or want to play for a run, I would leave it alone. If you're a swing trader and the market's strong, I would play for a move to 71.80 right now or wherever the 8-day is tomorrow and leave it there until it can break above it and close above it. But love the name. I love what they're doing. Love the space. They're a disruptor. I still think there's a decent chance they get bought out at some point because they are disrupting big names like Visa and MasterCard.
They absolutely are. They're a pretty cool company. And you know, it's hard to go to a small business now and not, you know, have Square be the point of sale thing they're using, right? They came in and swept the world overnight. It was amazing. But back to the chart, what do you think, Larry, about the Square chart?
Yeah, so Square, if you look here, this is a weekly chart. So you can see the, from the year low here to this high, we're at a 50% retracement right now. It's about 67. And then down below here, this is a 50 period moving average on the weekly. So good, really good support here. I mean, it's pretty decent support right where it is, but right here is big support. So to break down to 60, that's going to be the area to really kind of see if it can hold and consolidate. Then if you flip it down to the daily, you know, you can see that 200 day moving average down here below. So this, it's not certain as to what it wants to do yet. You can see it's rolled down below all the moving averages. And now it's, you know, very close to that 200 day. So I would just leave it. It's the momentum hasn't shifted up. You did get a reversal here. You can see our arrow here. So that's a reversal signal. But it needs additional work to build a kind of a foundation. And then you do have earnings coming up next week. So this should probably churn sideways. It could go up into earnings a little bit. You know, a lot of the stocks used to trend into earnings. So, but as far as a longer term continuation trend up, I'd wait to see what the earnings do. So it's kind of a no trade here.
Yeah. I got no trade on Square either. I do like the company. I like the technology, just like Mike. But, you know, Larry said, the momentum has not shifted. It reversed. It's sitting right at the 200. There's not really a reason for me to go long yet. And I certainly wouldn't go short against the 200 with potential support after that big move. So, and going into earnings, right? There's no trade for me. I got other stuff to go focus on. But it's a cool company. It's worth looking at.
But doesn't it depend what kind of trader you are? If you're a day trader or it's active, thing, you know, there's tradable moves here.
And you know, it's a good point. You know, it depends on the interval, the time frame you're dealing with. You know, I'm trading between 2 to 6 weeks, and that's not a tradable stock for me in that kind of time frame. Intraday, absolutely. But yeah, Facebook. What do you guys think of Facebook? Kick off with you, Mike.
Earnings are out. They missed, but it's up. And the call starts in 2 minutes. So I show you this chart because, first of all, you can see the 5-minute chart today. Earnings came out. You can see it dumped all the way down to 138 and went all the way up to 151. And now it's sitting here ahead of the call. And I think they beat on EPS and they missed on revenue. I haven't seen a lot of other metrics. I think their user base was still good. But because we were getting on the show, I didn't have a time to really dive into the report. So here's what I can tell you. On the daily chart on Facebook, it's been pretty much much on my avoid list. I did short it a couple times since our last earnings, but since this big earnings gap, right, it's basically the 21-day this black line has been in control. It's only been closed above it once. That's pretty damn sad. And you can see here, put a new range low in here, 52 weeks, all the way down at 140 today. And while it's up and close to 150, it really hasn't gained back that much. I mean, look at the size of this gap down, right? From 216, we came all the way down here into the 175 range. And, you know, we're barely up 10 bucks, not even from the close. We're barely up $4 on this thing here at this point. And if you're an options player, boy, you're not happy here. The implied move was 11 bucks. You're definitely not getting paid into this at this point. For me, it's about the call today and then see what it looks like after that and tomorrow morning in the pre-market action. It's hard for me to tell you what I think about it here until I see what some of those metrics are.
Yeah, good. Larry.
Yeah, so again, it's just been totally damaged with the charts and the technicals. Here's just the weekly. You can see when it just got creamed, it broke below all the different major moving averages. So it's got so much damage done, you know, it could easily get a retracement rally all the way up here to, you know, 163 or 64, but then it's probably going to be, that's where you would be selling it again. So any length up here that's trapped, you know, that's trapped supply, they're going to start selling it to get out. You know, they want to get out. Huge hedge funds were all, that was their number one stock. And so if it rallies up much, you're going to have a total amount of supply wanting to get rid of that supply. So it's not going to have any sustained move. So you can see here's the big support would be right here. That's a 200 week moving average. And so it's not one. I think there's other better, ones out there to trade. So not interested in Facebook at all here.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, for me, too late to go short and there's no reason to go long. You know, may turn around, like Mike said, based on earnings, could get another continuation rally going. It would have to really prove itself. So there's just no trade for me here. Like I said, too late to go short, no reason to go long. So go find something else. And let's see. Speaking of that, we're halfway through the show. Speaking of something else, why don't we take a break from the list again? We're going kind of slow, but let's each share a trade that we do like. Something that because none of these, I don't think anybody said, oh man, tomorrow at the open, I'm in on any of these five symbols that we've been through so far. Give you guys a minute. I'll go ahead and kick off. I got a trade I like. I'll show you guys. And it's a long. I'm sort of a bear right now. NDAQ. This is the NASDAQ company, not the index, not the Qs. So NDAQ, I like it long. Had a big move up, big, you know, impulsive move, perfect correction. Now we're on to a continuation of that original trend. We're under the 200, under the cloud, but I think we're going to break it. And so we took that yesterday at 84.55. We had a nice pop today, nearly 3%. I got a target on this at 95.39. And I think we got a pretty good chance of hitting it. It's going to take, you know, a few weeks, but we're going to ride this thing up. So NDAQ is the trade that I like right now. Still got plenty of room to get in and get long on that bad boy. What do you like, Mike?
So, you know, every once in a while you tell people to do something and they all do it in your subscriber service and you don't. That would be Twitter. I was busy trading Square and Apple this morning. I told everybody Twitter is acting great. Since earnings, you got a big gap here. Held it when the market's selling off. Look at how well this is holding in. And it had resistance at the 200-day and broke above it today on volume, right? Nice volume on there. This name, I look at this and say, this is changing character, kind of like it did back in the last time. A couple, you can't see it anymore. So off my chart had earnings. And I would think this is a name. If I wanted to be long a social media name, it's Twitter. I think here you can move up here, your next stop here. You look up here at 37 area. It may not be able to get through there in the next month. There was a big call seller yesterday up there at the 37 area, and that was for the month of November. Basically, he's making a bet that it's not going to get through 37 before the end of November expiration, which is only 3 weeks out, guys. It's not that far. But I would be going long Twitter if you want a long trade, because once it gets to here, if it consolidates, there's that big gap, and boy, do I think it wants it. And I don't think this company's anywhere near done. I do like what they're doing and how they're really managing this company. They've totally changed it around. So not only do I like it fundamentally, I like it from a technical perspective.
All right. Long on Twitter. And Larry, what do you like?
Okay. Cut two that we like. J&J just kind of came across this today looking at various setups. And, you know, it looks pretty decent here. We've got it kind of in a consolidation phase and it's, you know, back above these moving averages. So I think there's good potential for J&J to continue the move up back towards the prior high and possibly up to that 145 level. So the thing I like, it, you know, it broke back above that 618, and you've got good positive momentum. You've got, you know, several different areas have broken for trend lines. So do like J&J safe potentially. And the thing I like about, you know, when you're looking at longs or shorts, I prefer to have longs that are, you know, above the moving averages and shorts below. So this one satisfies that. And then another one, you know, you talked about earlier, the retail stocks have been doing pretty good. And I think Target has some potential additional upside as well. So again, it's broken back above the 50. It's sitting right here under that 50 simple moving average. If it can get through this 86 level, then I think it has a shot to get back up to that prior, you know, level here at 89. So, you know, Target, you know, kind of looking pretty decent and kind of off the back of Walmart. You know, Walmart was doing so well, started looking for some other retailers, and this one kind of had some good technical looks to it as well. So those two.
All right, J&J and Target, consumer, and those are what, consumer discretionary, right?
Yeah, and you're going in fourth quarter, so you know, perhaps you'll get some people coming in spending some money.
There you go. Yeah, you know, I like Twitter too. I had the same deal that you had, Mike, earlier this summer. I pointed out my trading room. You know, it was actually like May or June. I pointed it out. And I go, hey, there's a pretty good long entry, about $34, and then I just forgot about it and went and did something else. And a bunch of my subscribers took it, and they took it all the way up over 45. And I missed it, and it was a bummer.
Don't you hate that?
You know, but they loved me.
Yeah, so
that was, you know, and I agree. There may be another long setting up, but I like Twitter better from a technical standpoint and a, you know, just an operational standpoint. I like it a lot better than Facebook.
I love how they're cleaning their act up.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've been following the Twitter war that Jack Dorsey's having with the CEO of Salesforce. That's pretty interesting. They're both in San Francisco, and they're on opposite sides of some plans the city's making there.
I missed that. That's funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. They're about to do what, you know, I don't know if you, I live just south of Seattle. And I don't know if you guys in the national news you followed, Seattle, you know, passed a big business tax to solve the homeless problem. And Amazon said, good luck with that, and raised some concerns and shut it down. It was pretty dramatic. They said, we won't be looking for our second headquarters. We'll be looking for a new headquarters. It was a per employee, you know, headcount tax.
Yeah,
good. Yeah, and San Francisco's looking at something similar now.
CRM, yeah, he's for it, and Dorsey's against it. Yeah,
no, I think it's the other way around. I think Dorsey's for it, isn't he?
No, Twitter. No, it's what's the guy at CRM? He's for it. And,
oh, okay. The Salesforce guy.
Yeah, Salesforce, and Dorsey's against it because, you know, he doesn't have as deep a pockets as CRM, but yeah, anyway, that's the feud.
Yeah, pretty interesting. funny that they're using Twitter to play out the war of words there.
Well, come on, isn't that where everything plays out these days?
Apparently. Where were we? Bank of
BA. If you guys want to continue talking about interesting CEOs and their Twitter wars, we got a request from the audience for Tesla, TSLA.
Of course. We can't do a show without talking about Tesla. there's another guy who's on the show every once in a while, and in his newsletter, he said, buy the car, forget the shares.
So you guys all saw Musk bought 28,500 shares, right?
Recently. Yeah.
And the stock didn't react to that. And that to me was strange today. Doesn't anybody else think that was strange today?
Yeah. Usually when they step in, it a lot of times ignites it, you know, up, right? Yeah,
I but thought that was very strange.
Is that a pinch or a peck compared to how many he already owns?
Well, he bought, what does he own now? I think he owns like $60, $70 million worth of his own stock, something more than that. Maybe, I don't know. He keeps buying it. I know at one point, 60-something percent of the stock was owned by people, including him and loyal to him. That was about a year ago.
You know, it's a super interesting company, super interesting products, certainly an interesting guy. It's a messy chart. I don't touch charts like this. It's too emotional. It's too volatile. You know, probably a good day, you know, day or very, very short time frame swings, but that's not my thing. So I'm not touching it.
Simply, it's a news magnet, guys. Whenever you trade this stock, you never know when that next piece of information is coming out, right? And with him constantly tweeting and some of the things he's done, by the way, moving earnings up and tweeting because it's really good news is like, you know, basically saying I have good earnings coming. He keeps getting himself in trouble, and the SEC is all over him. You know, they're going to be watching him like a hawk. I think it's only a matter of time, honestly, before he gets forced out of the company. And then I don't know what happens to this company. So for me, it's quick trades, and that's about it.
Yeah, you know, if you're glued to your screen, want something that swings, this is it, right?
Yeah, that's it. You know, if you're glued to your screen, you know, you get some great momentum movements. But other than that, it's just too volatile. Like you said, the news comes out, it could go either way on you.
Yeah. But what about Boeing? What do you guys think about Boeing?
This is one of the stocks I loved yesterday morning coming into the open of the markets. And it made an idiot out of me. And that's what I love about the stock market, right? It always humbles you. And of course, we had the crash in Indonesia yesterday. And it had acted well since earnings. It was trying to break the 21-day and get above it. We don't know yet the cause of that crash. I don't think they've recovered either of the black boxes yet. It was a brand new plane. But it bounced back a little bit today, back above the 200-day. I think if I'm a long-term trader, I'm stepping aside here and waiting until I know what happened here and letting this settle out. If you're a day trader, there's moves to be made either direction here on this. But right now for me, I'm not even looking at it. It's off my radar today. I wasn't even paying attention to it. And we got to find out what really happened.
Yeah. Larry.
Yeah. From a swing trade perspective, you know, just think about a huge flood coming down the gorge or whatever, and you churn up all the water and it's all muddied up. That's exactly what's happened with Boeing. I mean, that huge, massive sell-off. So it's going to be really volatile, whippy to see, you know, exactly what's going to do. So from a, you know, kind of a swing trade perspective, it's not anything I would be touching. But like Mike said, from an intraday perspective, you've got some great moves. So, you know, you just look at that 5-minute chart there. It went from 344, never looked back, you know, $5 straight up. So you've got that kind of activity. But from a, you know, swing trade, it's not something right now that's given any good clear direction.
It's pretty highly correlated to the S&P, actually. Not perfectly, but pretty highly correlated to the S&P. And I'm actually looking for stuff that's different. If I want to trade the S&P, I will. So there's really nothing here for me on Boeing. And, you know, particularly after it broke out of that channel and it broke up and then down, it doesn't really have a clear direction right now. I'm not a Boeing trader at the moment. JPM.
Banks just don't want to bounce, right? We've been watching this here. So you had a nice 2-day move in the banks here, which typically about all we get. There's no real option flow coming in. There was some small smattering of stuff, but nothing great. You can say that you have possibly a little bit of a higher low off of the July lows down here. But honestly, for whatever reason, they don't want to own the banks here, and I'm just not going to force it. I'm not trading them at the moment unless I see something special or change in character, and this is not enough for me to want to get into the banks. I think there's better things, places to put your money until they show they want these.
Amen. Larry.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, you know, you can see here just from this weekly, it's down here on this nice little area of support. But if that breaks, look at that, boom. So right now it's not showing me anything. But you can see if you look at the 4-hour, it's trying to turn up a little bit. But yeah, I think there are better places to spend your time. So, I mean, there's so many different stocks out there. And this is, you know, one out of the thousands. So it's not something I would be probably looking at right here. But it's trying to hold. You know, it's trying to turn a little bit. We're seeing some momentum shift, but where's it going to go? Okay, so if it goes from 106, next support's right here, 108, and then you've got this big resistance up here, you know, 110, 112, all these big moving averages. So you might get a, you know, retracement bounce up into that area.
And you made a good point, Larry, about, you know, there's thousands of other symbols. And, you know, sometimes in the trading room or webinars or when I'm working with traders, they seem to fixate a little bit. And the question in their mind is, how am I going to trade JPM? And I think the first question is, should you? Right? And for me, the answer is no interest in trading JPM at the moment. Not when there's so many other better things out there.
Put me in some retail names right here, or put me in some consumer staples like P&G or McDonald's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Banks, I just don't see it.
And, you know, I look at this chart, and probably Bank of America as well. Same thing. Look at it in about 2 seconds. No, zero interest at the moment, right? Zero. If it breaks that 101 level that you were pointing out, Larry, there might be something here for a short, but not yet. So we'll just move on to NVIDIA.
What a tough name. I said at the beginning of this year I thought it would hit 300 this year. I missed. It hit 291 and change.
We need to work on tightening that up, Mike, for next year.
I missed, but boy, the fall here, right? So, you know, we opened today down around the 185 area. You had a huge, huge bounce back candle today. Now, the one thing I want to point out, there was some nice buying in the SMH. That's the ETF that tracks the semis. They bought 5,000, 100% on the ask of the November, or was it December? This might have been December 90 calls. We haven't seen any kind of call buying in the semis lately. It was December 90. So we've seen mostly put buyings on the ETF. And NVIDIA closed at the highs. What I can say here from a technical perspective, it didn't take anything back today, right? If you're a day trader, beautiful candle, but didn't even hit the 8-day, right? The 8-day is still all the way up at 208. It closed, you know, it closed $5 below it. Didn't even get to it. These are nothing more than day trade scalp trades. If you're a long-term investor, maybe, but one thing we know about the semis is they're cyclical. And if we're in a cyclical downturn, this is going to last more than a month. These usually last for a little while. So I'd be very careful going long with the semis here, other than for quick trades at this point.
I'm with you. I got nothing to add to that. Larry?
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, you can see here, this is pretty good, you know, support right here. You can see all those tops, and then it broke through, came down and pulled back into it and held. So that's pretty decent support where it bounced off of today. So that we call it 180-ish level. You know, it's so far below all the different moving averages. So, you know, it could be, it's more like an intraday trade. You know, you can get some nice retracement rallies like today. You can see it went from straight up from 198 to 203. So those kind of intraday trades are great. But tomorrow, could it come back down here and retest that that level here at 183? And if that gets taken out, you know, watch out.
All right, let's jump. We already did a bank, and I think BAC is going to be very similar. Let's jump to Agilent, symbol A. You're up, Mike. You with us there, Mike, for Agilent?
I'm sorry, I had my mic on mute. Apologies. Another ugly chart, no surprise here, right? Most of the market's in correction. A lot of names are going to be in correction mode here. I don't trade this name. I haven't traded it forever. If you like it here from a long-term perspective, you definitely came into strong support right down here around the 60 area, 61 area. Trying to take back the 8-day, that would be the only moving average it's fighting against here. Earnings are coming on it. I'm sure earnings are not that far off. I don't know. I just think that A is not a name that gets me excited or makes me want to throw money to work. So I'm going to pass on this and turn it over to Larry.
Yeah, so, you know, it's come down to a good support area here, but you've got so much resistance above. Again, you know, I like to look at things that are above the moving averages for longs versus those that are coming off of a bottom. So where are they going to go? So they're going to go back up here, and then they're going to start to struggle again. So it's not any clear path, you know, until it gets back above these moving averages. And you've got the 200 up here at 67. You've got the 50 here. So, you know, it's going to be a struggle the whole way up. Not to say it can't, you know, pop up and go straight up to 67 right there, but for longer term kind of to resume uptrend, it's going to have a lot of overhead supply.
Yeah, I got nothing to add to that. You guys, I'm with you.
Can I interrupt?
Please.
We always say the earnings are about the calls, right? Forget what the report is. It's all about the conference call. Look at Facebook dumping. Obviously, whatever Zuck is saying on that call is not going well.
What interval are you on here?
I'm on a 5-minute chart. So we hit 150 after dumping to 138. We popped to 150. We're back at 141.
Wow, look at that.
So I always tell everybody it's about the conference calls. It's not about the actual earnings report.
Yeah, and I, you know, personally, I let it settle. I don't try to jump, you know, during
the announcement. This is going to weigh on the NASDAQ, and you can already see Apple's dumping into this. You see some of the bigger names out there now pulling off hard. Whatever he's saying is having a pull. Netflix just dropped, almost $6, $5 since the open, since the close. So this is obviously having an effect on everything else.
Interesting. Hey, let's jump to NVTA. I didn't recognize that symbol in it. I was getting interested in it or something new, and I see something interesting on this chart. What do you guys think of NVTA?
I know nothing about this chart.
Must be Latin for bullish chart.
Bullish chart. So this, to me, it's neither an investment or nothing, right? Anything that trades under 1 million shares a day on average for me is not a trade. It's an investment or nothing else. What a nice move. I don't know what they do. I know nothing about them. Huge move here off the lows at 450 all the way up to 1850, right? And to me, this is okay. This pullback here is okay because you kind of have to give some of that back. For me, if I can get it down around 1050 here and it was to hold this prior breakout, that would be something that would have my attention. So I would try to grab it at 1050 if it would get there. Don't know anything about what they do though, so I need to research that.
Yeah. What do you think of the chart there, Larry?
Let's pull back into the 618 from that breakout up here. So, you know, you can see a lot of price action through there. So it's trying to dig in and hold. You can see you had a reversal here today. And so, you know, potential for pushback. You know, again, like Mike was saying, it's more of an investment type of setup because, you know, it is a lower price stock, $13-$12, something like that. So not anything I'd be, you know, too interested in, but, you know, it's trying, you can see where it's trying to hold. So it could easily hold in this area here, that 618. This is where it needs to hold. And if it does, then it could start pushing back up. But it's got earnings coming up, so that's going to be next week. So that could be that. That's going to really probably set the tone. So whatever it does between now and next week really could go either way. But you'll find out more so next week. So not anything here for me.
Yeah, I was looking that up as you guys were talking. So yes, the 7th is earnings. So I would definitely wait for that.
Yeah.
And they have an average daily volume of almost 1.5 million. So that's good for me. And it's a healthcare diagnostics and research company in San Francisco. So after earnings, if it continues this move up, I like it. It'd be one I'd be interested in. And I think we're going to have a target, probably $19-$20 on this. We can get into it around 15. It's going to be a good trade. But I made a note of that one. This is my favorite chart that we've looked at all day for my style of trading. And Bud, would that be Anheuser-Bud?
Bud, who doesn't like beer? Alcohol, good for you.
Beer sales are off big time. I think you're getting creamed by the, you know, the craft people.
Or smoking.
Yeah, well, that too, right? That too.
Honestly, I hate this name because it's a gappy name, right? And if you look at this stock during the day, you get very small moves, and it tends to gap multiple times a week. And for me, that's not something I want to trade for. I don't like trading names that gap all the time because it makes it harder for me to adjust my position, having to deal with gap ups or gap downs.
I think it's like a South African, and this is like an ADR or something, right? SANV, I don't know what that means, but it's listed on the U.S. exchange, but it's not a U.S. company anymore. Is that true?
Yeah, I believe you're right. But it just doesn't make me want to trade it. And I think that's what it comes down to. It doesn't make me want to be in it. You catch call flow every once in a while. It's oversold. You look at RSI, it's screaming oversold after this huge gap down. So if you like it long term, this is a place to try it. But for me, I'd rather trade Stars, Constellation Brands. It trades better if I was going to trade a beverage company.
There you go. Yeah, and that gappiness, almost all ADRs.
Yeah, I don't like trading that. It's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, it looks really ugly. And yeah, I agree, STZ or something like that's much better. That's pretty ugly.
Yeah. Wow, Microsoft on the list twice. We'll only do it once. We got one more, FXI.
Ooh, China. Baidu reports tonight. They report late. Another gappy chart's an ETF that tracks China. We got Baba on Friday morning and the ongoing trade war, which never seems to freaking end. For me, China names for me are nothing more than a quick scalp during the day. If I could make a couple bucks on, I made some money on Baba last week on some calls. I think I was in it for 25, 30 minutes and it was out with a nice profit. That's all I'm doing with them. We have to look now to November 30th. That is the G20 summit when Trump and Xi are supposed to meet and talk. And if we get some good news out of there, maybe these things are screaming by. But until I see a character change in the Chinese stocks and the two sides here starting to actually sit down and talk and try to work something out, they're nothing more than maybe a quick day trade for money or a complete no touch if I'm trying to swing trade.
All right. China, Larry.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, if just looking at this chart, I mean, it could get a lot worse, you know, and who knows when this trade war will end. China could be in for the long haul. And you can see here, this is a weekly, that's a 200 week moving average. It's significantly now trading below that. So this looks real ugly. I would not touch it. And shorting wise, if it moves back up here to that 40, 41, I'd probably look to probably reset some kind of short trade setups, but it's, you know, going to get extended. So nothing right here.
Yeah, me either. And I got nothing to add to that. I did pull up a chart here for international. I like Brazil. I'm long Brazil. And I think this is a pretty good looking chart. And they just got their new leader elected, and it's breaking out. It's above 200. I think we got a run coming here on Brazil. So I'm long EWZ. Pretty nice instrument here. So that's another trade idea that I like, EWZ. Hey, we made it through the list, and we're almost out of time. So why don't we each go around? Just any closing thoughts you have? If there's a link you want to share, something like that, it'd be a great time. And Mike, if you'd wrap up from your perspective.
Closing thoughts, guys. Markets today were up. We changed character a little bit where we didn't sell off late. We were bought up late. But until this market gets above 270 for me on the SPY, it is nothing more than day trades or scalps. And I don't just mean gets above. It has to get a close above it with some power. If you like listening to me, you like what I do, smartoptiontrading.com. Click out, find out more. Love to have you give me a try. What I do is every day is real-time option flow. Every morning, 8 o'clock, I do a morning setups video talking about what I like for the day, what I'm looking for in the action, what I think is tradable. Every night. I do a recap video, talks to you about what was good, what was bad, what is swingable from this point forward. Get all the option flow and news and anything I'm trading throughout the day. I'm live for 3 hours a day with you guys talking, where you can interact with me real time. And every Thursday night, we do a weekly mentoring webinar. This is where we spend an half an hour to an hour teaching you on stuff I can't teach you during the middle of the trading day, but I choose to use everything as a teaching opportunity. So smartoptiontrading.com. Love to have you try out. $25 for 30 days. Cancel anytime. Thanks for having me, David and Dean and Larry. It was nice meeting you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, and I like listening to you. So this is like a pretty good offer there, man. Larry, any final thoughts from you, sir?
Yeah, so just like what Mike said, I mean, you can see here on the charts, here's some fib levels. So you need to get this 618 retracement on the SPY. So that's 268, 270. And then if it breaks here to 60, this is actually the exact measured move from that prior high to low we had back in January, February. It hit it to the penny. If that breaks, look for a move down to retest that prior low 252. So leave you with that. And then, come join us at PowerCycle Trading. Here's my site, powercycletrading.com. And you can always see what we're doing as far as any upcoming webinars. We've got a trading virtual trading room I'm in each and every day. And then, so, you know, come in here, PowerCycle Trading, click on that and sign up for, you know, whatever current webinars we're going to be doing. So I'll be doing one tomorrow night on energy markets using spreads, technicals, and more. So come visit us and look forward to working with everybody. And thanks again, Dean and David, for having me. And nice to be with you today too, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, it was good having you on the show, Larry. I always enjoy it. And watch out for that banana peel. I like that image you had up there. Yeah, so Dean Jenkins, Follow Me Trades. Again, I've got a stock advisory service, a live trading room, an hour at the market open, and then some mentoring and training programs as well. Great way to get to know me if you're interested is just sign up for my free market newsletter called Beyond the Noise, and you just come to my website, click the big green button, and get signed up, see the latest analysis, and that would be it. Thanks. It was great to be on with both of you guys, and David, I'll turn it back over to you to wrap it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Just a reminder for everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to access any of the past shows there. Be sure to join us for both shows next week, Crab Forecast News, Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and the next episode of this show, Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can always go to timingresearch.com/live to watch the live broadcast. And just want to thank my guests again for this week, Mike Pisani of AlphaShark.com and SmartOptionTrading.com, Larry Gaines of PowerCycleTrading.com, and Dean Jenkins of FollowMeTrades.com. I always mess that up. But thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.